My son Arius is 3 now, and I'm amazed by his development. The other day, his younger brother, Asher, was doing something, and he said, Asher is weird. And I was like, man, that's a big word. And I told him I will be sharing this about this on Sunday, and he said, Daddy, let me tell you more about Asher. And this is what he said in one breath. Asher is rude, bad, nice, crazy, and tickle. There are certain things that he does not understand, does not comprehend. For example, hide and seek. Even when he hides really well, he laughs and makes loud noises, which exposes his location. Another example is surprise. He would hold a large object behind him. He would come to you and he would tell you he's got a surprise for you. Just because he can't see, he thinks that you can't see it either. My favorite one is the concept of secrets. He would come to you and whisper in your ear for an extended time, only to tell you something that he really wants. Usually, it's, let's go to the park, or pizza. We all have certain areas where we are like Arius. As we grow, we grow in our knowledge also. Constantly, we are learning and growing and discovering new things about us, about each other, and about the world around us. This is also true about the scriptures. This is also true about the kingdom of God as well. There are things we understand about the kingdom of God, but there are things that we do not understand. And perhaps we don't have to understand, at least not now. The title for this message, The Secrets of the Kingdom of Heaven, comes directly from the text that I will be focusing on. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. This message is the continuance of my previous two messages that are accessible through our website, should you choose to listen to them. In the scriptures, two phrases, Vasilia tou Theou and Vasilia tou Ouranon, one being the kingdom of God and other being the kingdom of heaven, present exact same idea. And in this text, Matthew chooses the second phrase, latter phrase, for his Jewish audience. He shows them and us that the kingdom of heaven was the heart of Jesus' teaching through explicit references in Matthew chapters 3, 4, 5, all the way to 13 and other chapters, but especially in chapter 13, where he gives a lot of different parables. And in chapter 13, verse 11, Matthew intentionally draws our attention to a very significant truth that sets those who believe in Christ apart from those who do not believe in Christ. Matthew chapter 13, starting from verse 10, says this. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Here, we see two groups of people who are in direct opposition to each other in regard to knowing and understanding the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The verse has three sections. The first section is privileged people. Look, to you it has been given. That's the privileged people. The opposing side will be those who do not have the privilege of knowing. Second is privileged access. Notice that phrase, to know. To you it has been given to know. And the third is privileged knowledge, a confidential information, and that is the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at them one by one. The first one, privileged people. This means that through Christ and his gospel, God made people who were not people. I understand that my statement is weird, as my son says, and doesn't make sense, but this is from the scriptures. Look over 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Then it says, "And that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Notice verse 10. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." What does that mean? This means, A, even though previously we were not a part of the covenant, but through Christ, we have become covenant people. And Jesus initiates that covenant. He makes that covenant. Jews or Gentile, God elects. God chooses to whom he will give access to intimate information, intimate things of God and his heaven. Being the descendants of Abraham did not automatically made Jewish people the people of covenant. Why? Look over Matthew chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Matthew 3, 9 and 10. It says, 9. "And do not presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. B, only by placing our faith in Jesus and believing that Jesus is the Son of God who came from heaven to this earth, died on the cross, and rose on the third day, we receive the privileged status in the Lord, that we are no longer strangers, rather we are family members, the family of God. That we are part of his household. Look over Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 12, it says, 2:12. "Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Now look down at verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "For through him," him is Christ, "we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access in one spirit to the Father, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's our status in the Lord. Privileged status. Number two, the verse indicates privileged access. This means that through Christ, God has granted us the gift of knowing his revelations. With a new status as family members, part of his household, we also gained access to the knowledge that only belongs to God's household. More specifically, to his Son and the Holy Spirit. In the Greek text, if you look at the Greek text, the same verse, you will find this verb given to in the first part of this verse and the last part, give, is dithmi, which means to bestow a gift or grant, or granted. So when I read this with the Greek text, it will sound like this. So the privilege of knowing the secrets of heaven is a gift that is bestowed only upon the privileged people. This means, A, predestination. We're not going to get into detail, don't worry. I'll keep it short. Predestination. God chose to grant the privilege of knowing the secrets of the kingdom of heaven to whom, the verse says, it has been given. And also God chose to bestow, not to bestow, this gift to whom, the verse says, it has not been given. So don't worry about our friends and family members when we keep talking, keep preaching the gospel, keep sharing about Christ, and they are not listening to us. They are not responding. Don't let that take over your faith. Don't let that remove your focus from the cross to that particular person. Rather, pray for them. You may ask, isn't that unjust? Isn't that unjust? Well, this is what God has to say. He says in his scriptures, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Amen? So ask for God's compassion for them. Ask for mercy on them. The scriptures teach that God chose a remnant for himself before the creation of the world to be redeemed in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You and I, brothers and sisters, he is the firstborn among us. B, election. If you pray, then you already believe in the sovereignty of God. Have you ever noticed that? And if you believe in the sovereignty of God, then you also believe in God's foreknowledge through his omniscience. When I'm driving and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, protect us. Why? Because I know that he's able to. He's omniscient. He is able to see it, what's going to happen, and he can protect me against that. He can protect me from that. If you believe that God provides the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, but man must choose Christ for himself in order to be saved, or you believe that God has complete sovereignty and complete control over the process of salvation and human will is not really anything special, and God is the one who actually controls everything, of his sovereign will freely chooses to save people. Regardless of your difference of theology, still you believe in the election. You can debate about how the process works, but still you believe in election and predestination. That is the privileged access to the knowledge of the gospel. Third part of this verse is the main part, privileged knowledge. This means that through Christ, we receive a special understanding of God's revelation of grace. If you notice, most of the apostles do not speak of grace much in the Gospels until God brings Paul in, and Paul is the one to whom God revealed this message, and then you see the rest of the apostles are, yes, that's what it is. We are saved by grace, and grace alone, by faith in Jesus Christ. Notice the middle section of the verse again. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The word secret has a negative connotation. It sends this unnecessary suspiciousness that usually means a lack of trust or mistrust. Now, the difference between the two is really interesting. Hear this. Mistrust sometimes is a general lack of trust based on instinct. But distrust is often a complete lack of trust based on experience. Secrets are also very subjective. They have extreme value and leverage in one setting, but in another setting, they have no value at all. Recently, I was in China for some ministry work where we have a full-time missionary that is serving, and we support this full-time missionary in China. And I found China is more secretive than Egypt, Jordan, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. The whole process of getting visa, getting there, getting out of there was very secretive. Everybody has fear that there might be government spies among them. And the government fears that there might be foreign spies among them. Every conversation I had on the phone or in person was in code. Even in houses, we had to close the curtains and put our phones away in a special room. The secrets of heaven, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven in the scriptures are their own category. They're nothing like the secrets that you and I understand. It's nothing like that. They are there to be revealed, that they are there to be propagated and taught. It's like this, I speak to one of you and tell you, don't tell this secret, and then tell you, oh, go ahead and now proclaim everybody, tell everybody about this secret. That's what the scriptures' secrets are about. The word translated here as secret is actually mysterion in Greek, which is basically mystery, and in this case, mysteries, multiple mysteries. The important difference between the two is, now notice this, while a secret can be uncovered, a mystery must be discovered. And the scripture tells us it's from the outside that you're going to get help from. It's got to be from somebody needs to come from the outside and help you. And that somebody is the Holy Spirit himself. That's why when you are unable to get through somebody, you got to bring it to the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And if you go down to verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2, 14, it says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. You see, that's why our friends and colleagues and loved ones simply cannot understand it. But that should not stop you from sharing. You are still responsible to teach, propagate, and share the gospel. The parabolic nature of Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13 are intended to reveal and conceal the mysteries of heaven simultaneously. Why does God do that? What's the big idea behind that? I tell you, A, to increase his grace. Increase his grace. Jesus explains a couple verses down in our text, if you look at it, Matthew 13, 15, verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Jesus telling us why there's a difference between these two. Not only that, this is consistent with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Acts, and even Romans, where the same passage is quoted over and over again. God chose to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to those who will respond to the gospel, and conceal the same mysteries from those who will not respond to the gospel. Why? Here's the point we often miss. That it is only out of his grace that God chooses not to reveal his mysteries to those whom he knows, his foreknowledge, he knows will reject them in order to lessen their responsibility and guilt when they reject them. Because he already knows. But if they reject willfully, knowingly, the punishment is much higher. Romans 2 and 4 tell us that God will not hold us responsible for what we do not know or understand, but for what we do know and understand. This is God's grace right there. Nevertheless, non-understanding and rejection of the gospel does not leave an unbeliever person without consequences. There are consequences in the end. B, to spread the gospel. Spread the gospel. God gives us this understanding of the revelation so we can spread the gospel. God places responsibility on those to whom he reveals the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to share them with others. Why? Please look over 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but in patience, key word is patience, toward you and the lost, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Again, the big idea is he wants to save everybody, therefore he is delaying. And in that delay, he wants you and I, who are part of the privileged community, those who've been given the revelation, he wants us to go and share this revelation with others. The cognitive comprehension of the gospel does not lead to saving knowledge. Rather, it is a gift from above that needs to be taught and explained. In the first service, I spoke to a family from our church who've been here for a very long time, and she was heartbroken over her children's disobedience to the Lord, and she believes they know the scriptures, they know, they have heard it so many times. Why they are not following the Lord? That's why. Understanding here does not mean you understand here too. That's where you and I come along to help people along the way. So what are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? My wife said, when you come to this point, tell them it's a mystery. And that's the response I was waiting for. One, previously no one really understood the prophecies of the Messiah. Why do you think that today still the Jewish community does not believe? Majority of the Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Because they cannot understand this truth without the revelation that is given to you and I through the power of the gospel. When you look at Isaiah 53 and you look at Daniel 7, there's a huge gap. 53 tells us, Isaiah 53 makes and presents him as a suffering servant who will pay for our sins. But Daniel 7 presents him as God in human form. How do you reconcile those two? Through the power of the gospel. Through the power of the gospel, we discover the mystery that Jesus Christ is both the suffering Messiah and the victorious Son of God who took on flesh and came into this world to atone you and I. Two, through the power of the gospel, we discover the mystery of Trinity. There is no word Trinity in the gospel. Find it. There's no word. We came to believe and understand and know that because of the power of the gospel, because of the Holy Spirit. The incarnation of Christ and the union of the two natures, human and divine, reveal the hope that if divine took on a second nature, we will also receive a second nature and be like the angels, as Jesus said. The truth of predestination and election, redemption of in Christ, sanctification by Christ's sacrifice, justification by Christ's righteousness and forgiveness of our sin in the atoning work of Jesus Christ when he shed blood for you and I cannot be understood without this revelation. Only the gospel. Only through gospel we discover that. Three, previously God was thought to be only in the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, with a visible division between Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles. Through the power of the gospel, we discover the mystery of Skeno. In my last message, you will learn about that. Mystery of Skeno, that God came to dwell among men and not only dwell among us, but in us. He made me the Skeno, made you the tabernacle, made you the living place. It also tells us that in Christ there is no Jew or Gentile. But all are members of the same body. Please turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at this passage. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Starting in verse 4, Paul writes, when you read this, you can perceive my insight, Paul says, into the mystery of Christ, which is the gospel basically, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and the partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Go down to verse 9. It says, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Amen. Finally, number 4, through the power of the gospel, through the power of the gospel, we discover the mystery of resurrection and eternal life. Look over 1 Corinthians. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting from verse 50, it says, I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that it's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Notice 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the hope that you and I live for. That's the hope people need to know. This is a secret they need to understand. We need to teach. We need to propagate that. We need to proclaim that. As I close, I understand this time of the year we all tend to reflect on our lives. What we have gained and what we have lost. And I'm not talking about our weight, which is okay, you are allowed to think about that. This year is not over yet, my friends. You have a couple more days to think over. If you have lost your love and passion for Christ, I want to invite you back to the household of God. Commit 2022 loving him more and being passionate for him more. But if you are somebody who has not, you heard the message, or probably you did not even hear the message before, but if you have heard and you have it never, you never try to bring it from here to down here. It just sits there in your cognitive comprehension. I invite you to make it real tonight, today. I want to pray with you. So in the first part, I just want to be silent, and I want to give you a couple minutes for reflection on 2019. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to reveal where you need to confess and repent. That's for those who believe in Christ, those who are the privileged people with privileged access to privileged knowledge. This is for them. Ask him to make you fall in love with him all over again with a deep remorse for what you have done in the past, if that's sinful. And then the second part, once the silence is over, I will pray for those who want to accept Christ. Let's start 2020 with a new hope in the resurrection of our Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Now, this is for them who have yet to come to the Lord, I want you to consider the possibility of living for Christ for the rest of your life and then moving into eternal life. I want to invite you to discover the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven by repenting today and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you need to do is say a simple prayer and believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. Father, I thank you for your Son Jesus, Son of God, who came from heaven to earth, died for my sins, and rose again. And today, he intercedes on my behalf. Jesus, I repent and I ask you, forgive me my sins. I invite you in my life. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.